As Charles has said, today we're going to have our annual meeting. You know that we got that kind of bumped up a little bit. We were going to do it 2 weeks ago, but it didn't happen. And so we're going to do that today. And so what I thought I want to do in this setting is address some to the state of the church, because I know not everybody will come to the meeting, and so I just wanted to take some time this morning in this setting to address some of the state of the church. And once we have our lunch, we'll have a little meeting too, but I wanted everybody to hear at least this part. And so I'm going to start and end with Scripture, and then in between, the state of the church. So if you got your Bible, I'm at Psalm 146. I want to read the entire psalm. It's only 10 verses to start. Psalm 146. It says this: Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. I like that. There's a lot of psalms that say, praise the Lord, and we should do that. That should just be our DNA. Amen? I don't know how many people I've told in the last 2 years that have been challenging. There's always something to be thankful for. There's always something to praise the Lord for. And so I set the stage with this psalm today because I want us to be reminded God has blessed us. God has blessed us in spite of the challenges that we've seen in the last couple of years. God has blessed us, and to that I say, praise the Lord. When I read scriptures like this, I cannot help but say, as the psalmist did, praise the Lord, O my soul. And I say that often. I say that every day. I find something to say, praise the Lord, for every day. I hope that you do. And personally, I cannot help but feel as the psalmist states when he states here in verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Does that mean everything's perfect? No. It doesn't mean that. But when we know Christ, we have that joy that Charles talked about in the Advent season. We have that spirit of happiness that helps us get through when things aren't going well. And that's what he's saying. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. If we don't have the Lord, we don't have joy. And we won't have this kind of happiness he's talking about. I don't have to tell you that everything has not been perfect in your lives or the life of the church. I don't have to tell you that. The last couple of years especially have been challenging. But I do want to tell you that God is still good. Amen? God is still good. In spite of our circumstances, God has blessed us in spite of the hurt and the death and the difficulty that so many in our community and in our family here have lived through. God has blessed us in spite of that. And I pray that in this year and beyond, God will continue to bless us and to continue to use us to bring glory to Him. You will remember, I hope, that a couple, 3 weeks ago, I challenged us to pray for souls to come to Christ. Some of you remember that. Some of you, I hope you've got names written down. I hope you're praying for them until they do come to Christ. I call on us to continue to be about that, praying for the salvation of souls, telling others about Jesus, praying for healing, praying for restoration, praying for reconciliation, praying for all of these things. I really do long for and pray that all of us will be seeking God for these things this year. Now, let me speak to the state of the church for a little bit. Has coronavirus challenged us the last 2 years? Yes, it has. It's changed a lot of things in our lives. Some families in our family have been changed forever because of it. Things in the ministry have changed. And although we may not have seen death in our family in 2020, we saw a lot of it in 2021. When I looked at my list, I keep a list of the families I've done funerals for, and when I looked at the list the other day, I saw that I've done over 50 funerals in the last 26 months. We've lost family. We've lost community. That's hard. But I want to still remind us of Psalm 146, praise the Lord, O my soul, because He is still good, and heaven still awaits all who have put their faith and trust in Him. There's always something to praise the Lord for. There have been many bright spots these last few couple years. Let me mention a couple. Nobody is unaware of this statistic anymore, but every church is down in attendance these last 2 years. No matter who you talk to, no matter what statistic you look at, every church is down in attendance because of COVID, or at least that's what we blame it on. But even though that has affected us also, here at Motley Free Methodist, actual giving is up in 2021. I say, praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord because that enables us to do so many things in the ministry. Some people might say or think, well, yeah, Jim, you're going to say praise the Lord because that means more for you. No, that don't mean more for me. It means more opportunity to help others. And even though attendance is down, giving is up. I say thank you, Lord. Thank you for people giving. Thank you for opportunities to help others. And let me just tell you this, because some of you won't be able to come to the meeting and you maybe won't get a chance to get a year-end financial report. But let me just say this. In this last year, 2021, Charles and I become aware of things around us, whether they're locally or globally. We bring them to the board and we bless others. But I just want you to know that in this last financial year, because of your giving and board decisions and stuff, we have been able to help and bless others to the tune of $125,000 in just this year. I say praise the Lord. Helping other pastors that had emergency crises, helping other pastors, one that just got moved to Des Moines, Iowa, in our denomination, that was here for years, but his wife was stuck in Africa. They had been separated for 7 years. And we, because God has blessed us, were invited to help that, well, alleviate that problem. She is now in Urbandale, Iowa with her husband. So all kinds of things. We've helped missionaries. Those missionaries are listed in your in your bulletin. I hope you pray for them. So we help missionaries globally. We help missions locally. They're all listed in your bulletin, but we continue to support these, not with $100, not with $200, but to the tune of $125,000 last year. And so I say thank you for giving, and praise God we can help other people that way. This last year we had two people from our congregation become ordained elders. That's pretty cool. One of them's a chaplain, one of them's a pastor now. And so I praise God for that. Last year, some of our students got to go on a short-term missions trip, and what a wonderful experience for our students. And so I'm thankful that we can do things like that. And perhaps even more importantly, last year, a number of our students made decisions to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, how much better does it get than that? When people are putting their faith in Christ, we also had adults make decisions last year to follow the Lord Jesus. And so I always want to emphasize that, because really, if we're not doing that, if we as a church are not inviting others to Christ, we're missing out on what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing, pointing people to Christ, helping them understand we have a Savior. And so people came to Christ last year too, and I'm very, very thankful for that. We baptized people in two different rivers and two different occasions. That's always such a wonderful occasion. I say praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord for things like Awana and youth group and vacation Bible school and Sunday morning classes, both for children, youth, adults, all of it. I say praise the Lord for all of that, because it gives teaching opportunities to others. Thank you, teachers, for being there for your students, whether they're young or old. Thank you for that. I say all these things to encourage us, because the pandemic has been real. We have had loss of life. We have had changes. And so I tell you all of these things to remind us that God is still at work. God is still on the throne. And I want to encourage us to continue to seek Him and to pray that we are part of advancing His kingdom in 2022. You say, Jim, I'm not pastor material. I'm not saying that. I hope and pray that God will raise up some of you to be pastors. We desperately need young pastors. But what I am saying is, when we come to Christ, the Bible says we have a Holy Spirit gift. And I am praying that we will use that gift, whether it's giving or whether it's administration or whether it's praying, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whatever those gifts are, whether that's mercy or whether that's loving your neighbor with a meal, I pray that God's people, us, will be used for the glory of God this year like never before. The world hurts around us, friends. Are you hearing me? The world around us hurts. There's hurts of every imaginable kind. And people who have committed their lives, our lives, to Christ, we have that joy, that hope, and happiness because of Christ. The world needs that. We need to pass that on. And so my prayer is that we will continue to do that. Bring up that little bulletin, if you will, please. I want to share this with you, because this is an expectation of myself, Charles, this church. In the Free Methodist, we call it the Book of Discipline. It kind of gives us instruction on how to do meetings and this and that and the other thing. But I appreciate the church has an expectation. When I say the church, I'm talking about the larger denomination, has an expectation of us. Okay? Myself, Charles, our board, us. And so I wanted to put this up here today to just show you. This comes right out of the Book of Discipline. It states, all structures, ministries, and personnel of the church shall produce these expected outcomes. And they list these expectations. I appreciate these because if we are not about this, we are not doing what the Bible and God calls us to do. I love the very first one. Every society, that's this gathering that we call a church here, this local congregation is a society. Every society, a prayer-saturated congregation. I don't know how many times I've said this over the last few years, friends, but if we're not praying, we're on our own. And I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in being in the ministry on my own. And we shouldn't be interested in doing life on our own. We need to be people of prayer. That is an expectation of us from the Word of God, from the denomination. Every society, a prayer-saturated congregation. Every society, a worshiping congregation. And really what they mean there, they're not talking about, well, I'm just going through the mechanics of some liturgy. I'm just doing something repetitious each week. I am worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. They expect that of us. I say, hallelujah. Expectation, every society, a discipling congregation. That means we are instructed by Jesus and have an expectation by our denomination to make disciples. That does not happen on its own. I think I've mentioned that before. Have I mentioned that before? This would mean, yes, you mentioned that before. Work with me. Don't fall asleep yet. We're not quite done. We have an expectation by Jesus, the great commandment and the great commission and the denomination to be people that are making more disciples. That does not happen on its own. That is intentional. That is one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three or four, one-on-12 like Jesus, grooming, nurturing, doing life, praying together, instructing in the Word, yes, but working through life and helping that newer person become a disciple of Jesus who will make other disciples. That's an expectation of us. Every society, an evangelizing congregation. That means we need to tell others about Jesus. Is there any other better news, brothers and sisters? We can talk about the weather all day long, or the next football game or the last. Is there any better news than Jesus? I did a wedding yesterday, and the very first thing I challenged a young couple with, I asked them this question. I said, I've been pondering this question for you. What makes a happy and successful marriage? And I said, I suppose if we looked at it the way the world looks, I'll grab all you can get, make money, get this, get that. But I said, or we could look at what the Word says. And the number one thing I said to them, we had this conversation long before the wedding yesterday too, but the number one thing I said to them for their marriage to be happy and successful is Jesus. And friends, every opportunity that we get as followers of Jesus, we should be telling others the same thing. That's what they mean here when they say every society, an evangelizing congregation. Are we telling others about Jesus? You still with me, friends? You tired? You wore out? You're looking a little groggy. We've got to stand up and do some jumping jacks? That's an expectation of us. And there's more. Every society, reproducing congregation, growing. Yes, it's good to grow numerically, but we need to help those numerical growths become passionate followers of Christ. That's discipling. Every culture, every society, a culture engaging, you can see them. World missions, congregation, every society, purpose-driven congregation. I love those expectations. They're from the Word of God. They're from our denomination. That's expected of us, myself, Charles, our board, and us at Motley Free Methodist Church. Now, let me say a couple things about challenges that are on my mind, and the board and Charles and I will talk about this year before I close with some scripture. There are challenges for not only our congregation, but the church as a whole in America. But for ours, I've listed eight. I want to share them with you because these are my heart's cry. The first challenge I've listed is some families are not engaging in the life of the church any longer. Since the pandemic started, and we were told this 2 years ago, that 20% of churches would close, 20% of the populace that goes to church would no longer go. We were told that when it all started. I don't know how they knew that, but maybe they're guessing, but that has become a reality. Now that we've been into it nearly 2 years, we in this congregation and in most all congregations across America are seeing that many families are not engaging in the life of the church any longer. That's a challenge and an opportunity for us to continue to reach out and love our neighbors as ourselves, invite them to Christ, invite them to church. It's young and it's old, but if there isn't young families in our church, we're only a short generation away from having no church. That's a challenge and an opportunity for us to reach young people and young families. And it's not just young ones that are no longer engaged, but we need to reach that generation with the good news of Jesus. Challenge number two goes right along with it. Many congregations, ours too, are aging. That's just a statistic in American church. They're aging. I was talking to a person yesterday after the wedding, and that person said to me, there are no young people in our church. Zero. I praise God for our young people and our young families. Are we missing some since pandemic? Yes. But our congregations are aging. That's a challenge and an opportunity to continue to reach people for the Lord. Number three, challenges for volunteers have never been greater. It's harder and harder across the board. When I say across the board, not just for our congregation, I talk to pastors and I read, getting volunteers is getting harder and harder and harder. That's a challenge, and yet it's an opportunity for some folks to use their gifts that God has given. Number four, challenges for our young couples, young individuals and teenagers are constant. Society will see to it that they are. Challenges, pressures, and then we see the result, depression and suicides. Endless, endless challenges and pressures. Never perhaps has there been a time when we must be there for our young people. We must be there. The church must be there with the truth of Scripture and the encouragement to follow Christ. And when mistakes are made, we've made them. Our young people will make them. Then we come along and we forgive and we love and we help and we encourage and we disciple and we do like Jesus did and encourage them, go and sin no more. We must be there for our young people. Number five, the need to really help believers become passionate followers, in other words, disciples, is huge. When decisions are made for Christ, that is just the beginning. I think Charles said this, or maybe I did in the last month. That is just the beginning of our journey with Jesus. When we make that conscious decision, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to repent of my sin. I know I need Christ as Savior. I'm going to invite Him into my life as Lord. I'm going to follow Him. That's just the beginning. And we, the church, must be there for them in that journey. Need has never been greater. Number six, and I don't have these in priority of order. I've just got them listed. Perhaps the need for the church to pray has never been greater. Remember expectation number one, every society, a prayer-saturated congregation. Corporate prayer, individual prayer, getting together with your friends that are close in your neighborhood to pray. The need has never been greater for the people of God to pray. Number 7, divorce care and recovery is a very real need. And lastly, grief care and recovery is a very real need. So these are challenges and opportunities for us as we embark on the new year. God has been very good to me. He's been very good to us. But there's work to do for the kingdom. Amen? It's not just Jim. It's not just Jim and Charles. It's not just Jim and Charles and the board. It's for people of God. The work has never been greater. The harvest fields are ripe. Oh, I pray for revival every day. I pray for salvations in our communities every day. I pray for sick. I pray for hurting. I pray for those that have lost their families. I pray for these things every day, and I pray that we are doing that collectively so that God would do a work in our communities. This is where He put us. And I pray that this is who we are. This is our DNA, seeking Him, giving Him praise for what He's helping us with, but praying for these things. I pray that's just who we are. Now let me close with this scripture before we sing our last song. I refer to the Sermon on the Mount often. I'm going to do it next week also. There's a couple verses I'm going to refer to, but not these two verses. At the close of the Sermon on the Mount, this is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus sums up a couple of things. The one I'm not going to refer to, he's talking about all these teachings is like a man who built his house on the rock versus the sand. That's one of the things he concludes with. I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use Matthew 7, 21 to end today. Here's what Jesus said after he took the people through the Sermon on the Mount. He said this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." That should get our attention. Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. That should get the attention of the church. And I end this with these verses at the end of Matthew 7 because I want the Spirit of God, my prayer is, He would get my attention and get our attention and remember things like this. Jesus is the one that said this. And then He said, on that day, we sung, you might have noticed that little phrase in one of the songs. On that day, 10,000 Reasons has that phrase. On that day, when we stand before God or our family member or our coworker or our mom, dad, neighbor, or whatever else, on that day, there's going to be people that say, but God, I taught Sunday school. But God, I gave a couple times in the offering basket. But God, I went to church once or twice, even in the pandemic. On that day, there'll be people making excuses and saying, but God. And His reply will be, according to Matthew 7, 23, then I will answer them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I end today with that verse because I want us, and I don't even like the way that sounds, I want. But my prayer is that the church would be so in tune to the Spirit of God that we see the harvest fields around us are ripe. And we see there are still co-workers, perhaps. There are still family members, perhaps. There are still people sitting in the church pews, perhaps, that on that day are going to hear, I don't know you. I want us to be keenly aware of that. Why? So at a minimum, we're praying about that. And maybe even be moved to action. Invite them to church. Invite them to Christ. Hand them a track. Something to help them understand eternity awaits all of us. And if we haven't been born of God, if we haven't been born of the Spirit, that's what we're going to hear. I want the church to be aware of that as we embark on a new year. There's people around us. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I'm saying I've been born of God. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. A sinner saved by the grace of God, set on a new path, and we need to offer that to everyone around us, or they're going to hear that. I don't know who you are. Eternity depart from me, you lawbreaker. They're going to hear that. There's no do-overs at that point. You can see they tried to argue. Jesus is telling this story. They're going to come with their offerings of excuses. That's all it is. The answer is going to be the same. I don't know who you are. Because they never got a chance to know him. In some cases, in our communities, maybe because we hadn't told them. We hadn't invited them to Christ. We hadn't invited them to church. We hadn't showed them the love of God. And so I end with this challenge to us today, friends, because the harvest fields are ripe. And I want us to be keenly aware. I've said this to us a lot of times. Jane, Jess, we're going to get ready. We're going to sing. God will put people in your path that no pastor will ever come in contact with. Are you hearing me this morning? As the body of believers, God will put people in your path that a pastor will never come in contact with. You're the one that needs to pray for them. When God puts them on your heart, you're the one that needs to invite them to church, or you're the one that needs to hand them a tract, or you're the one that needs to say, "Can I pray for you?" The harvest fields are ripe. And I want us this year to be keenly aware of that. In spite of pandemic and hardship and difficulty and death, there's still people that need Jesus. And I will commit to you, I will do all that God can by the Spirit's leading to point people to Christ. This is not a one-man show. It's not a one-man band. It's not a two-man show. This is the church. We have been commanded by God to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And we have been commissioned by Jesus, go therefore and make disciples. Before they can be a disciple, they've got to know Christ as Lord. And I pray we are keenly aware of that this year. Let's pray to close. Thank you, Father, for the grace we sung about in this song, the grace that is offered to each and every one of us. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that washes us whiter than snow. Thank you, Father, for the commission that you've given to the church. We have a responsibility. You've left us here for a reason. Thank you for that. Use us, O God, for your glory, to advance your kingdom, to be in the rescue business. Thank you for what you've done in the past. You've blessed us tremendously. Thank you for helping us through some tough spots. We've lost a lot of folks. Thank you for continuing to comfort those that hurt because of that loss. Thank you for the year that lays before us. And should your son tarry, he is coming back to receive the church to himself. Father, I pray, use the church in powerful ways. Anoint your church with your Spirit. Revive your church and use us for the glory of God. Use us, O God, in ways that we're not even aware of this morning, but you are, and you're just looking for willing hearts. Use us for your glory. Thank you for the food that's prepared. Bless it to our bodies. Bless the fellowship time together, and continue to guide and direct us in our meeting after that. For those that can't stay, please watch over them this day and this week, and use us this year for the glory of God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.